What keeps us from proclaiming the gospel? What keeps us from being obedient to the call of Christ? Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This broadcast is sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. This week, Pastor Jim brings us a message about the work of proclaiming Christ and the difficulties that we often allow to prevent us. It's a convicting message, but it's also a hopeful one, for God will have His way. So with no further delay, here is Pastor Jim.
Folks, the mission field is hard. It's difficult. There will be people out there who hate your message if it is the message of truth. Sounds a little like a church, doesn't it? Because you are also missionaries right here. Since this is a morning of my pet peeves, let's go to another one. It is a pet peeve of mine that people seem to think that they have to go somewhere to do missions. There is much that's needed right here, isn't there? Now, I am not against somebody going somewhere. Not whatsoever, if God's calling them. But if it's on you to go, then you should be busy here. It bothers me that some feel like if they go, they can serve. Well, if they can't serve right where they're at, what makes you think they're going to serve when they go somewhere else? Unless it feeds one of their natural desires to receive and be noticed. Those are natural desires. But we're called into the mission field. We're called to preach the kingdom of God. We are called to go out and to do it in such a way that it brings glory to His name. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God." That's what we should be doing. We should be taking the gospel and sharing it for the glory of God. But I see a couple of things. Instead of taking the gospel, we're too busy trying to make a name for ourselves. My name is unimportant, and I'm sorry, but so is yours. It isn't important who we are, and it isn't important that people know about us. They need to know about our Savior. That's what we are sent out to do. You know, when we have a benediction at the end of a service, it is to send us out. That's what we're to do. And as we go out, and as we proclaim the kingdom of God, proclaim the gospel, in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, Paul tells us exactly what it is we're to do. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And we're to take every thought captive to obey Christ. So when we get sent out, just like the 12, when they got sent out, what we're to do is to bring the gospel using God's word to overcome the lies that are being told. People say, "Oh, well, you're just judgmental, Jim. You're just judgmental. Let them teach what they want to teach." No, the Bible tells me, God's Word tells me, that I am to correct the lies about Jesus Christ, to destroy the lies, to destroy the arguments that are raised against the knowledge of God. And I tell you, we are in such a world that every one of us has internalized many lies. I have been a part of this doctrine and understanding of God's Word and the truth as it is, and I still find places where the old lie has its grip on me. And because it has its grip on me, it dictates sometimes how I do things. So I have to break and destroy those arguments within me, so that I can go into the mission field, go into the world, and come against those arguments. As the 12 are sent out, and they're proclaiming Jesus as Savior, as the Christ, the Messiah, every Jew in his natural heart has to bow up against it, doesn't he? He has to, because of everything he has been taught, and because his leaders, the priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, all vote up against it. So he has to. What changes the Jews who don't bow up against it? The hand of God, isn't it? The hand of God in regeneration. The hand of God by pouring out his grace. So he's sending the 12 out this way. And as he sends them, he gives them a few rules. Verse 3, he said, "And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not take two tunics." Okay, so just to address it very quickly, if someone says to you, "The Bible contradicts itself," we've heard those words, right? Because Mark says to take your staff, and Luke and Matthew say not to. Bible contradicts itself. Mark is pointing out that what he said was not to have the extra staff. Okay? You could not go into the temple with your staff. In fact, you couldn't go into the temple with your sandals on. There are places you couldn't go with those things. And what the whole reason for them to take nothing for their journey is so that they would trust God and trust his provision. Have you been in a position where you had to trust his provision? You know, some people haven't. Let me rephrase that. Some people do not realize that that's what they had to trust. We've been in that position as a church. My family has been in that position where we had to trust his provision. And I'm happy to say that God has always provided everything I needed and most of what I wanted. Not just my needs, but most of my wants. If we're going to reveal Christ, then we need to be able to trust him in front of others, don't we? We need to be able to trust his provision. I believed with all my heart that God called us to start this church. I believed so deeply that there was nothing that could stop me. It would not have mattered if we had to meet under a tree. Nothing was going to stop it. And has God provided? You know, some people, I've said this before, some people walk through this building and they see all the problems. And I walk through this building and I see all the blessings. You know, this old, wore-out building is not my living room. It is not my basement, the areas that this church started in. It is not that little tiny storefront on Highway 18. It is not the office that I was given to use at Trinity and their extra room for holding our services when we got evicted from Manhattan. This is what God has provided. Not only did he provide this wonderful old building, but look around. It is full of useful things. It is full. You know, the amazement of it, just very quickly. We did not have a full dollar left in our account when we closed on this building. If I remember correctly, I think it was 58 cents we had left. There was possible salary for a preacher. There was utilities. There was all these other things. There was a need for a place to sit. There was a need for remodeling this area. All these needs. And every bit of it came in. This church, it was set up. When we closed on this building, this church was $264,000 in debt. We owned this building and 30-something acres up on Flush. 8 years later, we owed nothing except for utility. Can God provide? You know, we say how this old building, just before Christmas, water lines froze up in the kitchen. God has provided the men that I made a phone call, and there were three men out on the side of the building putting up a tent on the outside and blowing heat into that tent to defrost our pipes. God has provided for this place so much so that Rodney called me with an issue in one of the power panels. And so he texts one of the men that God has provided to us. And the man told him exactly what he needed to know about that panel. Can we trust God's provision? I can't imagine not trusting it. I can't. But it is also very difficult for people to do. We have had treasurers run like their hair was on fire because they saw what was coming in and what was needing to go out. You know, God's schedule is not yours and my schedule. God's provision is always on time. And that's the lesson that these 12 needed to know. They had been around everything Jesus had been doing. They had been there when he had healed hundreds, maybe thousands of people. They had been there when food was provided when they were hungry, when water was needed. In fact, not just while they walked with Jesus, but when they look at the history of their people as they came out of Egypt, when it was really needed, God provided it, didn't he? And God doesn't have to do the things the way we do them. Not one of us is going to go to a rock and try to find some water. But that's how God does it, when he wants to. So they're to go on this journey unencumbered with things that will distract them, unencumbered by worries about their needs, because God is in control. There's a word for that. He's sovereign over everything. So they go out, verse 4, and he says, whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. God went ahead of them, always. He did. They'd come into a town, they'd come into an area, they'd come to the synagogue, and somebody would hear what they're teaching, and they'd have a place to stay, they'd have food. In fact, I'm sure many times they were even offered money because of what they were doing, but they weren't to take it. Everything they needed would be provided. And so they'd go and they would stay with these people who would invite them in. And they would go and come from that house. As long as they were in that area, in that town, in that place, they would go and come. And they would preach all over. I've already said this. I'll say it again. They'd preach in the streets. They would preach at the synagogues. There were some who would go to the temple. And they would share the kingdom of God as they did. Make no mistake, many were angered. Many were curious, and some were drawn. And so they would go and they would do this. Jesus knew exactly what they would face. He was part of the preparation. He was part of what was laid out before them. And he told them that wherever they are not received, to leave that town. If you go into a town and no one receives you, no one takes you in, no one gives you hospitality, then leave that town and shake the dust of that town from your feet. Now, this would have been understood not only by the apostles, but also by the Jews who would see it happen. Because a Jew would have been required, if he walked through Samaria, that when he came out of Samaria, he'd have been required to take his cloak, his cloak, and to shake out the dust that would be Samaritan dust, or any other Gentile place, to shake the dust off of his clothes, and to shake the dust off of his sandals, off of his feet, from that community, because they didn't want anything of the corrupt to come to the holiness. And any community that would not receive him. Now remember, they're not going to the Gentiles, and they're not going to the Samaritans. They are going to the Jews. They're going to the people of Israel, of Judah. The people that God said, these are my chosen people. These are peculiar people. That's who they're going to. And even amongst those who God revealed himself so greatly to, they rejected the truth. And they were to shake it off. In fact, another way it's put in the New Testament is they went out from us because they weren't of us. Folks, people are always going to go out from us. Okay? They don't go out from us just because they have a disagreement with something we say. When we have a disagreement, we sit down together and we dig into the scriptures and we find out what the truth is. That's what we do with a disagreement. They go out because they are not of God, and God's truth offends them. God's truth always offends the lost unless they are drawn of Him. There's a lot of things that are misused in the Scripture that people build an entire theology and doctrine on. And that entire theology and doctrine is built on a lie, because the thing that they're building it on was taken out of context or not complete. So they're to shake the dust off of those places. They're to have it as a testimony against them. They're saying to them, all to yourself. You keep it. You want to reject God, then you reject God. Folks, there's been many times over the years when somebody has gone out from this church and somebody in this church has said, go after them. And I said, no. When God leads me to go after somebody, I'll beat their door down. But because they go out from here is not a reason for me to chase them. In fact, I'll go a step further. There's some who have gone out from here where I've said, thank you, Lord. I would have loved for them to have been regenerated. I would have loved for them to have come to God's word. But what they would do is destroy it any way they could. Tear it down. Put doubt in people. In fact, they would use the same words the serpent used in the garden. Did God really? Is God really sovereign? You mean God really chooses who goes to heaven or not? Why would God have such an authority? Why would He be such an ogre? And yet the things that they create, they take ownership of as well. And they would try to tear down God's word. I tell this story often because it's so sadly funny. While teaching on the doctrines of grace, the woman told me one time that the Bible, I don't even remember what it was she said, the Bible says so such and such, and I said, no, ma'am, it doesn't. And she said, it does. I said, please show me. And she said, you're the preacher. You find it. How do you find something that's not there? People don't want truth. If it's in the Word of God, it's truth. If you take it out of the Word of God, out of its context, it's a lie. Verse 6, and they departed and went through the villages, preaching, what does it say? The gospel. The gospel. I've actually had someone tell me, proclaiming the kingdom of God and preaching the gospel are two different things. No, they aren't. The gospel tells of the kingdom of God. The gospel reveals the God of the kingdom. So they went through all these cities and villages, and they're preaching the gospel. And as people came, they are healing their illnesses. They're casting out the demons. They are doing those things that they had only seen Jesus do but couldn't do themselves before. Now, because He gave them the power and authority, they can do it. And by the way, it's all 12. Judas is doing this too, by the way. Okay? Judas is doing this too. So think about this. Think about this. How often do we see somebody that just looks like the anointed when really they're a devil? And it would be better for them if they had never been born. Isn't that what Jesus said about Judas? So what is the measure? God's word. God's word is the measure. And it is not that they know everything that's in God's word. That is not the measure. It's that they believe everything they know of God's word. That's the measure. Because you don't have to get into God's word very far. It doesn't matter what book you open of God's word. You don't have to go very far before those who do not trust God find something there's a problem with. I've had people, when speaking from Job, say, the devil wasn't in heaven with Jesus. He wasn't up there with God. His word says so. I've taught things and people say, well, that's just a translation error. Sorry, it's God's word. And just to make sure, let's look at a lexicon. And we can see exactly what those words mean and how it got translated the way it is. So all this is going on. And I assure you that when Jesus sent out the 12, He didn't say, I can take a break. Jesus was continuing with what He does. It didn't take the 12 for Jesus to do these things in front of. He continued to do what He does. And with the 12 spread out and him, word is traveling everywhere. And people have all kinds of theories. But the word gets to Herod. Now, this is the Herod who was in control through all of Jesus' ministry. This is not the Herod that, it's not Herod the Great that killed all the children in Bethlehem. Okay? This is the Herod who Pilate sent Jesus to during his trial. Verse 7 says, Now Herod heard about what was happening, and he was perplexed. Because in Herod's lifetime, the only one he had seen that had any kind of power and authority, especially in what he taught, was John. So he's perplexed, it says. He's confused because some people said that John had been raised from the dead. Other people said, oh, it's Elijah. He has appeared. And yet others said, one of the prophets of old has risen. Remember when they were at Caesarea Philippi and Jesus turns to the 12 and says, who do people say I am? What was their answer? That was it, wasn't it? Some say. And then he says, but who do you say I am? So that people are saying all sorts of things. The buzz is about. Again, I always tell you how much I love in Mark when in the King James Version, when Jesus heals the paralytic, and it says that it was noised that Jesus is in the house. It was noised what was going on. There was a buzz going on. I read one commentary that said that Jesus was using every media of the time, which that media was word of mouth. And there was nowhere you could go and they hadn't heard something about this Jesus. So much so that it had traveled to the palace. And so Herod hears all this. In verse 9 it says, this is Herod speaking, he says, John I beheaded. He didn't believe that John was coming back from the dead, okay? He didn't. So he says, John I beheaded, but who is this about who I hear such things? He said, it's not John. And he didn't even address Elijah or the old prophets. Who is it? And I'm sure someone made sure he understood everything that Jesus was doing. Don't you think? If there's anything that the opponents of Christ need to hear, and by the way, the opponents of Christ are all who do not believe. If there's anything they need to hear, it is what Jesus does and what he stands for. Of course, we could say that in a much shorter way. The gospel. That's what they need to hear. All opponents of Christ. And I'm sure that there was somebody in his palace who was glad to tell him about it. And it raised his curiosity to the point that the end of verse 9 says, and he sought to see him. Sounds like a simple phrase, doesn't it? He sought to see him. But there is so much in just that statement. Did he want to see him so that he could be saved? No, that wasn't the desire. Folks, there are people who come to see what we're doing. You know, when we bought this building, Cynthia and Rodney are the only ones who can test, and Teresa can testify to this. I think Abby was too small then. People came in. I mean, we went from the 18 people the day we signed off on this building to 100 people practically overnight. And they came in and they heard and they weren't too excited about it. So they came back and they heard it again. And we went from 100 people down to this because they did not come to gain in God's knowledge. They came to see what was going on. People will always come to see what's going on. But it doesn't mean they're interested in Jesus Christ. Yesterday they were up at the abortion clinic in Kansas City, and I'm sure there were people who were curious about what they had to say. But they didn't come to hear what they had to say to change their mind. They were just curious. People are curious about those things of God. And if it was up to their curiosity, not one would ever turn. Not one. Not one would turn. Nobody would say, well, that makes sense to me. Not one. Nobody would say, teach me more. The only reason that anybody returns again to hear the proclamation of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, the only reason they return to hear it with desire for it is because of what God has done in them. They did not turn their own heart. They did not change their own mind. But God showed them an understanding of truth that created a desire for Him. When Jesus is brought to Herod during his trial, Herod is curious, but sees nothing in Jesus to draw him. And folks, neither does the rest of the world. Only those that God has regenerated. Only those who have received eyes and ears to hear and see. Only those who are His elect. Please stand with me. Father, so much more I would have liked to have said in this, and yet now is the time to stop. Lord, as we close in this service, I pray You have been honored. I pray You have been glorified. I pray, Father, that the words of this pulpit and the hearts of these people has made much of You, and that we have turned away from our sin, even as Christians, Lord, turned further away from our sin, turned towards You and Your Word even greater than we ever have before, with a greater desire to be filled with Your Spirit. I thank You, Lord. I thank You that You took me from Your enemy to Your child. And I thank You for these who hear this message that You have taken from Your enemy to Your child. Oh, Father, bring more into the family. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
May it always be so. Beloved, the transformation that makes sons out of rebels and obedient followers out of those who hated is the work of God's sovereign love. No part of our righteousness has any bearing. No part of our religious observance, no part of our family or our friends can make us acceptable in the sight of God. We will love Him when His love touches us and changes us, and not before. Just as Herod found nothing compelling in Jesus, neither did we until we did. And that change was the work of God's Spirit in us. No matter what the opposition, no matter what the barrier, continue proclaiming the gospel and continue sharing the truth with all. For you have no knowledge or idea of just when the grace of God will transform a heart. Keep on preaching the truth and let God do what only He can do. The world will be transformed by the message of the gospel in the fullness of time. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we'd love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com, or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We have a thank you gift we'd like to send if you mention it when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks. And may God bless you, and bless the hearing of His Word.